Certainly thankful to the Lord. I want to thank you, my wife and I want to thank you for having us to be able to come and be with you once again. And we certainly have enjoyed, appreciate your prayers for us. We both have been on the little bit on the healing time in our lives with these rotator cuff surgeries, which is really nothing to be excited about. My wife is a three-time breast cancer survivor. For 27 years, she had breast cancer in 1990, and recurred in 92, and then she went 14 years, reoccurred in 2006 at reconstruction surgery. And when she had 11-hour surgery one time, and my son Kenny called her, and she was crying, and Kenny said, "Mom, what's the matter? Are you hurting? Can't you take something for it?" And she said to him, "Son, I'm not crying because I'm hurting. I'm crying because this is the first Sunday that I've ever missed church since you were born." And she, 27 years, missed one church service and then has rotator cuff surgery. She misses three in a row. So I can just give you an idea how bad it is. So we thank you for your prayers, and we're coming along. And being here with family really makes a big difference in our lives. You all have loved us, and we've enjoyed all the fellowship. Love your pastor and his family, and not just saying that, pray for them daily. And I know you love them as well, and you certainly have a special gift from the Lord. Good to see Brother Thomas. Good to see you. Folks are still shaking up L.A., and there's a much needy area there, and we thank the Lord for your heart and your love for the Word of God. You all have been great to preach to. You've listened to me. I don't expect to be able to preach anything that's going to stir you any more than you've been stirred already, and I certainly appreciate that. So I'm going to give you a thought tonight that I want you to be able to think about before you make your commitment. Sunday of Missions Conference, that's what we call it, finale Sunday. Wednesday night you get preaching and teaching and all the slide presentations, and I think missions is spiritual business. I make no bones about it, and I've done this for so many years, 34 mission conferences in our church, and I preached in many of them, all sizes, small churches, large churches, and I've found out over the years, it's not difficult to get people to give to mission. Some people will give out of obligation. They feel obligated to do it. They feel if they don't give, the preacher may know, and they'll do that emotionally. They'll give. The most difficult thing is to keep people doing it. And so you're going to have the next 12 months where you're going to decide. You're going to make a decision here tonight that I trust God will use you in a very special way. And I want to give you a thought to help you to be faithful all year long and doing that which God has moved upon your heart to be able to do. Philippians chapter 4, very familiar passage. Once you find your place, if you will stand with me, and I'll go through this very quickly here and share a thought with you that I hope you'll remember to take this with you as you make your commitments all year long here that God will certainly use in a special way. Philippians chapter 4. And beginning in verse number 10, the great Apostle Paul, the great missionary church planning evangelist, and what he did and how he lived is a lot for us to be able to gain something from. As he writes to the church of Philippi in verse number 10, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly." By the way, that's a good way to start.
Amen.
"I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care for me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Now that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Father, we thank you so much for all that we have heard and seen and felt during this missions conference, and what a great time that you have brought your servants together, and you have dealt with our hearts in a very special way. You united this church together to be able to give sacrificially, to be able to get Bibles, Lord, around the world, and what you've done there and how you've worked in the hearts of people to reach out to missionaries. It's been a great, great week, and we have a lot to be thankful for. And I pray as this church will make their financial commitments, those commitments will be made based on what you have done in their hearts all week long. And I pray that the God of heaven will look down and be pleased with all that takes place. Now take me as your servant, cleanse me of any sin, empty me of self, fill me with thine Holy Spirit. You bless the preaching of God's holy word. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. We begin our conference in the way I begin every conference, talking about the mission of the church is what?
Missions.
Missions is church planting around the world. God wants every part of the world to be able to have what you have here at Shallow Mountain Baptist Church. And therefore, the church has that responsibility. We talked about this authentic plan that God had given the church. And that plan was had an assured promise that went along with it. We talked about the available power that God had made for those men and women that get into a local church, and God empowers us to get the job done. And then we talked a lot about that the only way it can be accomplished is that it must be advanced by people. Have you ever thought in your heart and mind why God, who created the world in 6 days, would use us to advance the gospel around the world? No one ever questioned God. He knew exactly what he was doing. And by the way, God loves people.
Amen.
God loves us, and he wants us to be involved. He doesn't want to force us. He wants us to love him and love what he loved. And by the way, he demonstrated that love by dying on the cross for our sin. So we know the love of God. And he says, I want people to advance my cause around the world. Then Thursday night, we said, okay, if I'm going to be involved in advancing this, helping the church to advance this cause around the world, what can I give to make it happen? Then we talked about giving self to Christ. We talked about giving our support to the church. We talked about giving our substance to the cause. Then we advanced a little bit further. We're on the move now. We have this plan, and we have this promise, and we have this power, and now the people of God are on the move to do something for God. And folks gave of themselves, and people are supporting the church, and you're going to give tonight your substance to the cause. Then Friday night, we talked about what kind of servant could I be? Could I be a renegade like Demas? If I do, I'm going to stop the advancement of the cause. If I become a runaway like Mark, I'm going to slow down the process of God. But if I make up my mind, I'm going to be reliable like Luke. I'm going to be steadfast and going forward for God. And all of these things. Then this morning we talked about God's vineyard. This local church that has that responsibility of getting the gospel around the world. God saved me. I became a member of his local church. And therefore, God has poured out his blessings, his protection, his power, his pruning. All of this he's done for the local church. And he put me in it. And then he comes looking from time to time to pluck out some grapes. He wants a grape that's sweet enough to sin. He wants a grape that can fall on the knees and pray. He puts people in the church that he can pluck out and will give more than other people. I mean, that's the work of God. And God says, because I've done so much to my church, I expect my church and the grapes that grow in my vineyard to be sweet. So we've had enough from the Bible to know what God expects of us. Here at the end of the service tonight, we're going to see what kind of grapes we are. We're going to see what kind of servants we are. We're going to see whether I have faith. We're going to see whether grace has been bestowed upon us. Because after all, we're advancing. We're advancing. We're the people of God that's advancing the work of God. Now, I've seen over the years in many, many places, including the church that I pastor, people make all kinds of commitments, but all kinds of things happen during those 12 months. You're going to have a choice here tonight to decide how you're going to handle your commitment to missions tonight. You're going to be one of two things. You're either going to handle your commitment. When I compare tonight, you're either going to be a thermometer or you're going to be a thermostat. Now let's talk about the difference. Around our church from time to time, we have more problems trying to get people to handle the thermostat right in our church. They're always turning it up, turning it down. There's some too hot, there's some too cold, all the time. Now, I want you to think for just a few moments. If you get this thought, I won't be very, very long. Your commitment tonight, that self, that support, that substance that you're going to give for the next 12 months, are you going to function like a thermometer? Are you going to function like a thermostat? Let me explain the difference. A thermometer only measures the temperature. If the room changes, the thermometer changes. Sometimes it's up, sometimes it's down. Sometimes it's up, sometimes it's down. All it ever does is register what's going on around it. Missions don't need more thermometers. Right. Missions need more thermostats. Now, the difference between a thermometer and a thermostat is that a thermostat doesn't just measure the temperature, it regulates the temperature. If you ever looked at a thermostat, has an on and off button, has a hot and a cold button, has a fan, and you can go and click that thing and it can be hot. You put it on cool, put it on automatic, and it will cool it down. It could be cold in that room. You put it on heat, put it on automatic, and it'll warm it up. That's the way a thermostat works. And God wants us, when it comes to missions, this thing that's so dear to his heart that he gave to the local church, he wants to raise up some servants in the local church who are going to determine. I live in a world that's changing all the time. There's a devil out there that wants to destroy me. But I am not going to be a person that's going to let the surroundings change me. I've determined in my heart I'm going to help change the surroundings. Amen. The Apostle Paul, this great man of God, was not a thermometer. You follow his life, he worked like a thermostat. He said, God has given me something to make a difference in this world. And every place he went, every circumstance he faced, he was about changing it, changing the situation. And for the next 12 months, God wants to raise up some thermostats that's going to help change the condition of our world. Notice what he said in verse number 11. That made him the kind of thermostat he was for the glory of God. He said this, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Paul says, let me tell you something. Something happened to me on the Damascus Trail. I met Jesus. I had a whole lot of things going on in life. But when I met Jesus, I got something in me that made me the kind of servant that I was all sufficient because of what Christ had done in my life, and I didn't have to look for something outward to be content. Contentment is not complacency. It's not a false peace. It's the kind of person that says, I've learned that when I have Jesus, when He's controlling my life, I can face anything in life, and no matter what I face in life, I can function because it's not based upon my circumstances, it's based upon what He's done in my life. Amen. If you're going to last this upcoming year in your commitment to missions, it's because you are content because of what Jesus has done in your life. You're not trying to find contentment by what surrounds you. So three thoughts that I want to share with you, and then we'll be done, and then Pastor's going to come. What made him so content? What made him so self-sufficient because of what he had in the Lord Jesus Christ? Notice what he said in verse number 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. Here's a church planner. Here's a man of God. Here's one of the greatest missionary church planner that's in all the Word of God. He said, I'll tell you what made me content. Here's what kept me going. Here's why I never changed. Here's why I never quit. He says, I have learned in my life to trust in the overruling providence of God. You know what he's saying? Nothing ever happens to me by accident. Nothing ever caught God off guard. He knew exactly when I surrendered to Him, when I got saved, when He called me, when He commissioned me. He knew exactly what was going to happen in every place I went. So when I found myself facing oppositions, hard times, criticism, it didn't change me, because I knew that God knew it was going to happen before it ever happened. You'll find out about missions that some of the commitments you have, as soon as you make them, old Slewfoot's going to get busy. Yeah. He's going to look for something. I mean, it may be a change in income. It may be a change in health. It may be a change in some kind of circumstances. But if you're content, if your contentment is based upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who's leading in your life, you'll say, God wasn't surprised this happened in my life. I can still function. And because he was content, here's what he said. Because I have Jesus, I can accept everything or anything in my life. Would to God we wouldn't let circumstances change us for what we're doing for Almighty God. So his attitude was, I believe in the overruling providence of God. All of us have read about Joseph and how Joseph there was prospered in the sight of his parents, and when they threw him in the pit and then threw him in to Potiphar's house and then in prison and end up in the palace, and then he faced his brothers. You know, he said, this is no surprise. You might have meant it for evil, but my God in his providence meant it for good. The child of God can be content in any situation. Do you know that before you make your commitment tonight, God already knows it? Yeah. And if he leads you to do that, he already knows 6 months from now what's going to happen. Right. And we have to operate. Hey, God's not shocked. Yes. He knew this before. I didn't know that. But he moved upon my heart to do this, and therefore I believe in the providence of God, and therefore I am content. I can accept all things that come my way because of the providence of God. Then he went down in verse number 13. He said this, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Paul said, you know why I can do what I do? You know why if I'm stoned, I'm still going to do it? You know why if I'm criticized, I'm still going to do it? Not only do I believe in the overruling providence of God, but I believe in the unfailing power of God. I can do all things through Christ. And then he was tested. He said, you know what? If I am in poverty, I'm still going to honor God. If I'm in prosperity, I'm still going to honor God. As a pastor, I've seen people run to God when they're down and out, and run from God when they have a lot. It's amazing. Prosperity has done more to hurt the cause of missions than poverty. You see, people, sometimes we get so much that we don't have time for God.
Yes.
Paul said, look, I've been instructed. I've been tested. I've been tried. I've seen both sides of it. I've seen when I was down and out, God's the same. I've seen when I blessed beyond measure, God's the same. And therefore, not only can I accept all things, but I can do all things because it's not based upon my circumstances. It's based upon what God has done in my life. I'm content. My question is, are you content in your commitment to world evangelization? I don't mean do you have complacency. I mean, are you content? Have you come to the point in your life where you're serving God and whatever comes your way, you can accept it because of his providence and you can do it because of his power? We're not trusting in the flesh, not trusting in our ability. We're trusting in Almighty God. And then the third thing he said, I'm content. I can accept all things. I can do all things. But then in verses 14 all the way down, he talked about his unchanging promise of God. And those that verse that we've heard mentioned here, I mentioned it the other night, your pastor has mentioned it. Verse number 19, he says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We know that that verse is written to a church that supported the missionary endeavor of the Apostle Paul. Verse number 8, that church sacrificed in its missions endeavor to get the gospel around the world. And it talks about how much it meant to Almighty God. And here's what Paul is saying. He says, you know what? I can accept all things because of the providence of God. I can do all things because of the power of God. But he said, I have all things because of the promises of God. And he's saying to this church of Philippi, remember when you supported that missionary work? Remember when you sacrificed when you didn't have a whole lot? You shared in the work of God, sacrificed to the work of God, and now God has promised to take care of me from the riches of God. If we could ever get a hold of the fact that if we take care of God's business, God's going to take care of our business, and no matter what happens to me in life, I can be content because if I share, if I sacrifice, then I believe in the promises of Almighty God that he's going to supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know what's missing in missions today? A lack of contentment. We try to find contentment. People find consistency in giving based upon how much they get paid, how much money they have in the bank, how much they can figure out. And the moment something changes, we lose sight of what we ought to be doing because we're no longer content because we don't have the things that we got our contentment for. Out with circumstances don't make us content. When God saves us and calls us and puts us into this living organism called the church, he says, you're going to go through some things in life. But when you face it, remember the overruling providence of God. I'm in control. I know what I'm doing. I wouldn't have saved you, put you in the local church, commanded you to do something that I wouldn't be controlling what happens. Nothing's going to ever happen by accident. And you commit to give, to go, to pray, to sacrifice, and something happens in life, you can do it because you're not trusting in your ability. You're trusting in the power of me doing it through you. And when you have in your heart a desire to share in the work of God, like giving to missions, getting behind the missionaries, even if you have to sacrifice, as the churches Philippi did, and these poor churches of Macedonia, they sacrificed. They could be content when they gave what they didn't have because of the promises of God. I'll take care of your need in every situation that you may have in life. May God help us to come to the point in our Christian life when I fill out that faith promise, grace giving card tonight, I'm going to have this kind of attitude for the next 12 months. I don't know what's going to happen in my life, but I do know this. I believe in the providence of God. He overrules everything that happened, and he's in control. Therefore, whatever Satan throws my way, whatever I mess up myself, I'm going to be content. Therefore, I can accept all things. And I'm going to go out and do what seems impossible for me to do. And I'm going to accomplish that because I can do all things because of the power of God. And I've determined in my heart, if the mission of the church is missions, and God wants to advance it through the church, and I'm part of the local church, I'm going to sacrifice, I'm going to share what I have for the work of God, and then I'm going to trust in his promise to supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Therefore, I'm content. I'm not going to be a thermometer that's only registers what's around me. I've determined in my heart I'm going to be a thermostat that's going to change the surroundings because I've come to the point in my life where I've learned to be content. The question and the thought I want you to think about the next few moments is, am I truly at a state of contentment in my heart toward missions and what I'm going to be doing for the cause of world evangelization? If not, turn to Almighty God and say, I believe in your providence. I believe in your power. I believe in your promises. And I'm trusting you to help me to do what you want me to do and make me a thermostat and not a thermometer that's being changed by the environment. But I'm a thermostat that's changing my environment. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, our churches, have too many thermometers that only register. They're constantly being changed rather than being thermostats who make changes. And I pray that you'd help us and help this church as it makes its commitments tonight for the next 12 months to function like the Apostle Paul, who was so content. He had learned through testing and trials of life that he believed in the providence of God. He believed in the unfailing power of God. He believed in the unchanging promises of God. He wrote to a church and told this church, and the same he's telling our churches today, you share in the work of God, you sacrifice in the work of God, you will be supplied from the riches of God. And what a promise. And what a difference it will make in the commitments we make to get the gospel around the world. And I pray you'll bless this church in a very, very special way. Thank you for what you've done this week in the hearts of your people. And we're trusting you now to bring us to a point of real contentment. It will make a difference in what this church and any church does for world evangelization. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that, Brother Baldwin. In a moment, what I'd like you to do is I'm going to ask you to pray. And I want you to ask the Lord sincerely, Lord, the commitment that my wife and I are going to make, or the commitment that I'm going to make, is it exactly what you want me to make? And understand that it is a 12-month commitment. Now, if you do not have a faith promise card, I want you to raise your hand. We want to get you one. I think every boy, every girl can do this. every man, every woman. If you do not have a faith promise commitment card, can you just raise your hand? Our guys will bring you one. This whole row down here, Brother Scott. There's some right over here. One in the back. And what we're going to ask you to do is we're going to ask you to, as you look at those cards, if you have one already, take it out. And the large part is the part that you want to keep. Put that on the refrigerator or put it in your Bible. And the small portion is the one that you're going to tear off. That's the right side. And we want you to break up your monthly commitment into weeks. That will help us because we want to, it'll just help us in the addition and the counting of it. And this is your commitment between you and God. The left side is yours, the right side is ours, which means there's no name to put on that right side. This is an anonymous commitment that you're making. But we do want you to make the commitment. Here's why. Because there's so much mission support that we need monthly. And I for one, am thankful, with the exception of one time in our history, that I've ever had to write our missionaries and say, we're sorry, we can't support you. How many understand that that's something that we really don't want to do? The Bible says, no man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So in my opinion, it would be better for a church not to vow than to vow and not pay. That's a Bible principle. I'm not trying to scare you out of your making your commitment. I'm trying to help you understand the commitment is a sober thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's something between you and the Lord. I always look at it this way. If I stop giving, missionaries will not get where they are called to go. They'll not stay where they're called to stay. And I want to make sure that those missionaries that my wife and I have committed to keep on the field stay on the field. And that's the way I look at it. This is my personal commitment for these many families, and we want to make sure that they stay. I don't want a missionary going hungry because I don't follow through with my commitment. I don't want them struggling to pay for their visas or get their airline tickets or have their medical bills because I haven't paid my support. Aside from that, I really don't want to disappoint Jesus, okay, aside from all that. So I want you to pray here in just a moment, and I want you to think about this question. How much of what God has given to me is going to last forever? How much of what God has given to me am I going to invest in eternity? Here's your principle. This I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And how many believe that missions is the best work possible? So as we think about this tonight, I'm going to have Miss Janelle pray and play for us in just a moment. I want you to pray. Say, God, now this is what we've settled on. If you want us to give more, then we'll give more. If you want us to do more, we'll do more. But whatever it is, I want you to be settled in it. You say, Pastor, you're just trying to get out more money from us? No, I'm just trying to get you to do what God wants you to do. Don't do this for me. Don't do this for Brother Baldwin. Don't do this because you had lunch with Brother Bowie or you had Brother Pack over for your house. Don't do it for them. Do it for the Lord, because he's the one we're going to stand before one day, and he's the one that's going to get all the glory. So let's have a word of prayer. Miss Janelle, if you'll play here just for just a moment, and let's have our heads bowed and eyes closed. We'll pray.